I had several different topics in mind to talk about Easter, but when I was even getting myself confused, I decided that it would probably be a good idea to read the story. It had been a while. And thanks for wearing bunny ears in the way back. You're the man. Okay. And it really is quite intriguing. I don't know how familiar or knowledgeable at all you might be about the story of Easter, but there are four gospel stories, and the conclusion, the end, is completely different in every one of the four stories. In the first gospel of Mark, which was the first one written, originally the story ends with Jesus being buried, and that's it. The last gospel written is the gospel of John, and that's the gospel where you have the story of Jesus ascending into heaven, but that part is not in the other three gospels. And in Luke and Matthew, the story is kind of odd and interesting because Jesus evidently rises from the dead, but nobody recognizes him. That one person is talking to him, and after he's gone, they realize, oh, gee, that maybe that was Jesus. Or at one point, Jesus meets up with some of the disciples, and they are having dinner together, and then their eyes were opened, and they realized that it was Jesus, which means, obviously, it didn't look like he did 48 hours ago. And then he sort of evaporates from that scene. They're all very different. And I try and find some actual meaning, some relevance in any of those stories. And if I put all four of them together, what it tells me, because I am allowed, as all of us are, we must bring all texts to judgment and decide what they might mean, is that what happens after the Jesus really doesn't matter. The story points to a truth, perhaps, that life goes on. And that's what you need to know. That it might look like one thing for one person and it might look like something for somebody else, but life goes on is what the fact is. And the point of life remains to live life fully while you're here. Maybe that was good information for those folks at that time because, you know, there's not much emphasis on the afterlife in that tradition, and Jesus never spoke of it. So it was probably very helpful and a crucial piece of information that life does go on. But even the resurrected Jesus was sort of kind of pretty much the way he was, but not exactly the way he was, so it's not that radically different. I don't know. You know, read this story yourself and see what wisdom, see what is important that comes to you in that. But I keep coming back to the most important thing, and I think the most important thing that Jesus said, which was, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not that you're a miserable person that needs to be redeemed, but that this is it. Live large, live fully, and live well, and live abundantly. And yes, be kind and creative and productive and generous. But while you have life, live it to the greatest and the fullest extent that you can imagine. If you do that, you will be sure that when your time is up, whenever that is, that you will have the feeling, as it is written, that you ran the race, you fought the good fight, and you kept the faith. One of the few odd experiences that I've had in my life was that 35 years ago. It seemed like I might have about a year to live. And when I got information about that, I thought, what is it that I want? If this is true, if it's true, it's true. If it's a fact, it's a fact. But if it's going to happen, what do I want to know when the end comes? And the words from the Epistle of Paul actually were in my head. And I said, if I'm going, I want to know that I ran the race, I fought the good fight, and I kept the faith. That I came here to live the life that was given me as my authentic self. From that time, I have perhaps not so skillfully, but I have gone in a direction of bringing my personality and my interests together with what I thought was my purpose. And as I took that on as a challenge, it's become increasingly clear. I have been blessed by doing that. I think that's the point of life. You want to live your authentic self, and you want to be busy doing that. You want to know power, and you want to know what success feels like. That's part of it, to know what success feels like. If you want to know that, though, you really got to choose in. You've got to choose to play, to live your life. Someone doubted me when I said that I had March Madness. Who was that? And she's not here at the 9 o'clock. It's an 11 o'clock person. And like, maybe I don't have March Madness, but I like me my basketball. Who watched the games yesterday? Anybody? Not half of us. Okay. But here's the deal. It gets pretty scary when I choose sports metaphors, doesn't it? They're good, though. If you've come to play ball, play it. Play ball. Do not sit in the bleachers. Play basketball. When you've decided to choose in to whatever it is that you want to do in your life, I beg you, do not be a mere bystander or an observer. Because even if you pay for a seat in the arena, it is not the same thing as playing the game. You don't have any of the responsibility, or you will never know what success really feels like. When our team wins, that's fun, but it is insubstantial. And when our team loses, you will be just as bummed out as when you win. But if you play whatever game it is the best you can, you will know what success feels like, whether you win or lose. When I'm watching these guys play basketball yesterday, you know, when you have the ball and you have an opportunity, you can shoot, you can pass the ball, you can try and score three from downtown. And sometimes the ball can be stolen from you. But I've never seen anybody on a court who has a ball and then puts it down and walks off the court. That sounds absurd, doesn't it? And I'm not going to blame anybody. There's no finger pointing here today. But how many times in life do all of us get the ball, have a clear shot, and put the ball down? We all do that. And that is what? How judgmental and inappropriate can I be? That's not acceptable, is it? That's not acceptable. If you've chosen in, if you're here, you have been chosen for the A-team, right? I mean, come on. If you are in this building today, my God, you are so fortunate by an accident of birth, of all the places you could be on this planet, that you're here today in this part of the world, which is always so rich and lush and beautiful and abundant. And whatever is going on in your world today, no doubt, there are showers of blessings that are coming down upon you at every single second. You've been given the ball and you've got a clear shot. Go for it. Go for it. Sometimes you'll score, sometimes you won't. But you'll only know success if you really do the work. There's so many ways we can interpret the story of Jesus and his ministry, but you know, he did the work. Maybe he knew in advance what the price was going to be. Maybe he didn't. Who knows? But he did the work. And he never put the ball down and walked off the court. He played hard to the very end. Life well lived? Yes. Yes. Now, you may be thinking, and you may be using the word which is my red flag when I know I'm thinking limiting thoughts. Well, I'm just a such and such. I'm just a mom. Or in my generation, we just were happy to do such and such. Or I'm just too old now. Or I'm just 14. Nothing's really expected of me. Everybody is on the A-team all the time. And if you're 14 or 114, stay centered in your fabulousness and be your glorious self and do what it is that you're doing at the moment. It doesn't matter, as Emerson says, if it's by raising a child or improving a social condition or baking a pie, if you choose, if your intention is to succeed and to give your life as a gift to the world, you really will have a maximal impact no matter what it is. I think that the point of the ministry of Jesus, or he would be sorry if we didn't get the point. I feel confident in saying that. He would feel sorry if we missed the point and thought that it was about something else, or that we were waiting for some other incarnation or experience in another dimension and kept passing the ball, being too afraid to take a shot, too afraid to try, or were in the bleachers our whole life. I used the expression from the Gettysburg Address last week. I don't know why it came to me, but that this man not have died in vain. And knowing that all of our gifts are really, really required on this planet at this time, and we, those that are here, have more than most, what do you want to do now? You know, Easter is not a special day. It's so not special. It changes every year. I mean, come on. It's not like the 4th of July. The 4th of July. Easter's ambivalent. Could be this, could be that. The point is every single day, every day you get up is an opportunity to commit to your life. To commit that the thing that is the most fun for you. That gives you the feeling that you want to get out of bed. Life is not a secret. It's pretty obvious to all of us. And so be about that business. The business of being you. The fully resurrected, fully enfranchised, fully powerful, fully peaceful, fully happy, fully non-resistant, fully healthy, you. You get to choose every single day. That, oops, okay, didn't do so good yesterday. Too bad about that. Move on. You get to choose again. All the time. And if you make that a life practice, I can guarantee you, not only will you know when an episode is over or you feel that you might be coming to the end, not only will you feel that you have run the race and fought the good fight and kept the faith, but you will know the accolade of the Holy Spirit, which is, well done, good and faithful servant. I give you the crown of unending glory. Let's conclude with prayer. I invite you to close your eyes so you won't be distracted by the bunny ears and the beautiful flowers and hats. But to know that, yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And it's this day and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And for as many tomorrows as there are, it will be a day of great joy. If you're about the business of living the life you've been given with your personality and with your interests in search of your deep purpose, and when that comes together, you will know authentic power and you will know what it is to succeed. You'll know what the word glory really means. Whether it's by the improvement of a social condition, the raising of a child, or the baking of a pie, it matters not. But you will have the crown of unending glory, and so it is. Amen.